Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3 to Christians, to all those of us who have received and believe Christ, he said, everything is yours. He said, there's polarization happening in the church here. Some of you are saying, I'm for Paul, and others, I'm of Apollos. But he writes and says, look, everything is yours. He said, I, Paul, am yours. Apollos is yours. All of everything in creation is yours. He says, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. I'm trying to tell you that the word of God to you today is that you already have everything you need in Christ Jesus. Everything is yours in God Almighty, even the things you're seeking for. But there's a time and a place and a way for them to come about. And if you'll live in patient prayer and endurance and hope, one day you'll know the full realization of all that you're looking and hoping for with regard to gender and sexuality and love and marriage. So I fixed the slide I brought last week. I'd like to show that again real quick. All right, so I changed the verbiage as you, for those of you that came last week, now you can see I've updated this. It's a description of who is behind real relationships. That's what we're all really longing for. Even when we're like the woman in Samaria who went from relationship to relationship, five marriages and in a sixth relationship, who knows, maybe if not more came along. We want real relationship, and how do we participate? Well, what we're just learning, putting this in a form, is that, well, we remember by God's grace that the Father, Son, and Spirit is love. And ultimately, the relationship we're all looking for is that relationship with God. And who is God? He's not just a generic God in the middle there. I put the Father, Son, and Spirit God is love. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you're one of the genders. You're either male or female or male, her or him. So as we privately and publicly grow closer to the Father through Jesus and in the Holy Spirit, we grow closer to each other. I'm just giving another visual summary way of all that we just said. That's the key to all broken relationships. And what we remember, if we can, I probably should have put some picture in the middle, that Jesus is the center of all that, because all, what we're doing, we're not going to God as females on our own. We don't have our own personal relationship with God. We don't have our own personal relationship as if we can get to God the Father apart from Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. There is no such thing. So the only way to get to God the Father is through Jesus and in the Holy Spirit. So we need a picture of Jesus in the middle, because all we're ever doing when we do pray and when we do get closer to each other is we're only participating in Jesus' actual life, where he's placed the love of the Father, Son, and Spirit inside a body, a human body, and given it to us to share in. And because we're not him and he's not us, he has to send us the Spirit so we can walk in union with him. Y'all get that more and more? Amen. That's a beautiful, that's the most beautiful picture of life that there is. All right. Don't worry, I got something good here. You're going to be, if you're not now, I believe you'll be inspired. Hang on. Okay. Sorry. All right. So, now there's a couple ways we can go about this. I said this already. We can each get into our own opinions and our own thoughts about gender. We probably all have them. They're all pretty strong. We can get into our own thoughts about sexuality and love and marriage, but that would just be more of the same, wouldn't it? You with your opinions and me with mine. I wonder, since we are all calling ourselves Christians, which means we have a unity in Christ, then it only makes sense that we might not be better for us to get on the side of our Christian heritage, our heritage in Jesus Christ, and ask, as the great catechisms of the church have always asked, the great teachings of disciples throughout the history of the church has been the catechisms, just kind of some structured ways to think about, some disciplined ways to think about the Christian faith, so we don't lose it at times when we're going to be tempted to because of the conflicts and polarization in our world. They've always asked and answered a question in the same way. And the question is, what is the chief end of mankind? What is the chief purpose of men and women? And you know what their answer was? Anybody know? All right, that's a very good and precise answer, and it is correct. But that's not quite the way they say it. But the way they say it is, the chief end of man, the chief purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's our chief end. So if our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, that's the logic for male and female. Now, we got to talk it out a little more, but we already can come to some basic, at least biblical responses, even though we're going to talk it out a little bit more. Now, that's biblical. You can write this down. Isaiah 43, verses 5 through 7. Isaiah 43 will rock your socks off. And I mean the whole Isaiah 43. I just read it over and over once I get started in it. Fascinating. I'm going to go there and just look at verse 7. I'll start at verse 5. Do not fear. Here's the word of the Lord to you today, the word of God to you. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I'll say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Who? And he said, bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth. See that gender, male and female? Everyone who bears my name and is created for my glory. Why are you gendered as male and female along with me? Because we're created for the glory of God. I have formed them. Indeed, I have made them. That's where we want to get started. So the next question you might have, well, what does it mean to glorify God? What does glorify mean? Well, here's what I'm learning to do now. It's very tough for me even sometimes. I start to, what I do is, you know, what does glorify mean? I always want to start with the dictionary too, just like you do in any sense. But man, the Lord's teaching me now. I might go that way at first, but then he conks me upside the head with the Holy Spirit. He does it gently. And he says, son, what is the place of Jesus Christ in that definition? Oh, I see, Father. Can anybody think of a scripture that talks about the glory of God in Jesus Christ? John 1:14. Let's go there. Now it's probably coming to mind. John 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what is glory? What does it mean to glorify God? Well, so I think this is the way we're to think about it, or the direction we're to be pointed in. Well, since Jesus is God's glory, and we're called to glorify God, that means we're called to participate in Jesus' life with his Father in the Spirit. That's what glorify means. Now, it means a particular word. There's a word behind it called doxa, and it simply is the word we use for worship. It's the word that means God is renowned. It means splendor. God lives in awesome splendor. So it's saying that the awesome splendor, renown, the peak of all creation is God as man in Jesus Christ. So we're called to live in such a way that when you see us, when you see me, I'm called to live in such a way that you are pointed to Jesus Christ. That's what it means to glorify God. You're living in a way that images God's splendor in a created way. That's what it means to glorify. I told you, one of the things that immediately comes to my mind is, you know how you'll see a little baby running around and people say, well, look at that little baby running around in all his glory. And he's naked as the day, as a jaybird, as they say. Because what it's trying to say there, he ain't hiding anything. Not a fig leaf. He don't got no jeans on. She ain't got no top. You're seeing her in all her splendor. That's what we're saying. Yeah, that's what it means to glorify God. To live in all the freeness and fullness and lack of hiding and pretending that human beings are supposed to live in. And as revealed in Jesus Christ. That's what it means. To glorify God. To glorify God is to participate with Jesus in his splendiferous humanity before the Father. a humanity which led to his continual interaction with people of both genders. You ever notice that in Scripture? He's with men, and he's with women, with men and women, but he's always with them. In fact, in our story, John chapter 4, that we've been in a lot lately, he had to go to Samaria to see and be with this woman. And as a result, the gospel got heard and spread. She went back, everybody believed her, and many people got saved. Men mixing it up with women sees people being saved. Women mixing it up with men, as God is at work there, helps people to be saved. Salvation has to do with a set of relationships, not getting from out of heaven into a place called heaven, not crossing a line from those who are lost to those who are saved, not really like that. It's really going from being living an independent life from God and living an independent life by myself. That's sin. And going into living a life of relational intimacies as shared in with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's heaven. That the other is hell. You know this very well. We always use bad relationships are hell. And good relationships that match up with who we are in Christ, that's heaven. That's paradise. So the main reason for our having gender, sexuality, love, and marriage is to glorify God. To make him known, to live in his splendor. And that matches up with Scripture in the wide context of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. So what we're going to do now for the end of this series is we're going to make a quick trek through Scripture and hold tightly to all that I've just talked about, at least as we can in the grace of God. So I'm going to conclude here real quickly, but let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We'll just get this little bitty start, and then when we come back, we'll continue. We're going to begin at the beginning, and what we're going to do is rehearse the beauty and goodness of God and his creation. And let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Now, I remind you, this is a beginning, but this isn't the beginning of the beginning. This is just the beginning. Because when we come to John chapter 1, and he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that's the beginning of the beginning. Y'all with me? So we're just in the beginning right now. But that's okay. This is I'm telling you all that for a purpose. So, let's see. Oh, yeah, good. I'm going to read this like really fast. All right, real fast. And I'm reading Genesis 1 through 25. You can just listen or follow, but I'm going to read fast. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was an evening, and there was a morning, one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. Evening came and then morning, the second day. Then God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth and the gathering of the water he called seas. Now here's a sentence to notice. And God saw that it was good. Would you trust me and say good? All right, appreciate it. Then God said, "Let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds." And it was so. The earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants, according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will serve as signs for seasons and for days and years. There'll be lights in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule over the day and the lesser light to rule over the night, as well as the stars. God placed them in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth, to rule the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the water swarm with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the expanse of the sky." So God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kinds. He also created every winged creature according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Somebody say mosquitoes are good. I'm kidding. I'm still puzzled there too. God blessed them. Be fruitful. Multiply and fill the waters of the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. Evening came and then morning, the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. All right, let's remember and rehearse the goodness of God. What I'd like to share with you now is something that was shared with me by Vanita. Actually, I appreciated it. It's called The Stars and Whales Praise God. This is it. This is how I'm going to conclude. I'll come back up because we're going to take communion. But just get a sense of God's goodness and what he has made. And then we're going to keep seeing what this has to do with gender, because we too were made by God. All right.
He says, praise him, sun and moon, and praise him, all you shining stars. That's not just a poetic idea. That's really happening, because stars don't just shine. Stars also sing. Let me just show you a couple more stars. This one is called the Vela Pulsar, and it's magnificent. It's 1,000 light years away. It's a highly magnetized neutron star. Right. It simply means this star exploded into a supernova, and in the case of the Vela Pulsar, it collapsed back on itself in a magnetic entity, and as the pulsar, it began oscillating on its axis. This one oscillates 11 times a second on its axis. And as it is oscillating, you can see what's happening. It's shooting a radio frequency out of itself. When they aimed the radio telescopes at the Vela Pulsar, this is what they heard. And this is what this guy does 24/7, day and night, 365 days a year. This is what, from 1,000 light years away, the Vela Pulsar sounds like right now. This is it. Listen to this. About you, but that blew me away. I'm thinking, wow, this is incredible. You're like, well, what does it mean? I don't know. Is that some kind of Morse code for something, or what does all that mean? I don't know what it means, but and I don't want to, you know, go too crazy here, but maybe the Vela Pulsar got wind somehow innately of Psalm 148 verse 3, and since it says, praise him, sun and moon, and all you shining stars, we're a shining star, we should praise him. Well, how are we going to praise him? I know. Let's oscillate 11 times a second on our axis and see if we can send a radio signal into the universe that would join in the symphony of God's praise from all creation. It's singing. The stars are singing to him. I recently stumbled on 47 Tuck. It's a beautiful cluster of stars. We'll show you the picture of it here. There are 12 of these super giant blue stars in there, but the things that are of interest to us tonight are these millisecond pulsars. And right now, tonight, while we're sitting in this room, the 16 recorded millisecond pulsars in 47 Tuck are making this sound right now. Beautiful. Who knew? No, God has his own string section. He's, isn't that beautiful? And we've just looked at 11 times a second pulsar and 16 millisecond pulsars, and you start seeing Psalm 48 come to life. But look down in verse 7. It says, "Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps." The whale songs could sound like this right here. Take a listen. We don't know the expanse of the worship that is continually surrounding the throne of God. And our songs are great, but God isn't banking on our songs because He is surrounded by a symphony that's bigger than our wildest dreams tonight. Stars sing and whales sing and the birds fly. And I just tried to imagine what would it sound like if you could just for a second be God and hear what He hears. And I can't get us there tonight, but I came close. I had a friend who helped me with this little iPad program. And I'm not a DJ, but I just a little thing, just quickly. And I want you to see how this works. Now, this guy, we didn't look at his picture. He's PSRBO329-54. And he's only rotating 1.5 times per second, which is not all that much, but we need him in our little experiment we're going to do here, okay? And then we had the Vela Pulsar. You remember the Vela Pulsar, right? So that's that guy. That's a little too fast for what we're trying to do, so we're going to slow that down, okay? Thank you.
we've just got started with creation outside of man and woman. And God called that good. And don't lose the fact that he did this in our day where sin has happened. Hasn't sin been around for many generations now? And yet out there and everywhere we can and can't see, things are still singing God's glory. And that's good. So what do you think we're going to see and know in God's grace when we get to man and woman who alone are called very good? That's where we're headed. I've brought this good news to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, who not only love you, but who like you. And I really do mean you very, very much, Jim Constantine.